This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wasn't it just last week he was sick? And he wasn't with the team because he was sick? Now he's has the birth of a child? Is he going to take paternity leave? Now he's going to have a death in the family for week five. Let's not forget that. Mono. He can go with Mono, right on the wings of, you know, one of his family members gave, you know, they shared a bowl of soup or something of that nature. Go with my left arm doesn't work now. Tennis elbow. Hey, just keep piling it on, man. If you can get through a whole season full of excuses and not have to play and get that money, I ain't mad at you, player. I'm Reese Waters. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Congratulations once again to those Washington Nationals. Want to correct something I did say earlier. I said that we were going to play the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers have clinched a spot in the National League playoffs. However, it is unclear whether we will play the Brewers or the Cardinals because the Brewers still have the ability to win the division. My question is, who would you rather play? Would you rather play the Brewers? Would you rather play the Cardinals? Are we ready to talk about 2012? Are we ready to avenge that? I'll be honest. I haven't thought about 2012 in a minute. And the second PJ told me there was a chance we could play the Cardinals, just like a shot of fear just ran across my heart because all of a sudden it took me right back to up 6-0. Clearly, my voice is not over it. Are we ready to avenge 2012? Or do you want to go in a completely different direction? Personally, I've seen the Cardinals pull out way too many wins they had no business receiving in order to feel better about that than against Milwaukee Brewers. So give me them Brewers, as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? I feel good about this team. I'm ready to go. I feel good about this team. Not to mention that we have a mole in the form of Gio Gonzalez with the Brewers as well. So I feel like, you know, as much time as he spent in D.C., you know, I feel like he would do us a solid. I feel like we're deserving of that. I'm going to bring on Greg Hoffman in just a little bit to talk about the Redskins quarterback situation. That is still happening. No matter the unfortunate thing, no matter how well the Nationals play, the Redskins still have to play once a week. Unfortunately, we can't throw Matt Scherzer and Juan Soto out there to play on Sundays. Unfortunately, the Redskins still have to play, at least as far as the rules are laid out right now. Hopefully, we may be able to rectify that at some point. He's going to talk about the Redskins quarterback situation. Case Keenum was seen walking around in a walking boot. I will give Jay Gruden this credit. He's doing it his way. He's out here like Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes, old Jay-Z, if you're from a different segment of the population. He is doing it his way. Because with the calls for Dwayne Haskins, it would take him nothing at all to throw Dwayne Haskins out there. If he honestly doesn't think Dwayne Haskins is ready, if he does not think Dwayne Haskins is ready, it takes nothing for him to throw him out there and have him fall on his face and shut everybody up. But he's not doing that if that is, in fact, how he feels about Dwayne Haskins. If I'm believing him that Dwayne Haskins is not ready, I got to give him credit for at least showing some restraint in that regard. I don't know how you guys act when you know you're on your way out. That's always a weird time. When you're lame duck at your job, you know you're on the way out. You know HR has already started that file. You're on your 90-day performance review. Do you give 100%? Are you mailing it in, or are you actively sabotaging the situation? It seems like Jay Gruden is giving 100%. It's just not good. I don't know what's better for him. It might be better for me to say that he's mailing it in, and that at least gives him credit for some upside. I actually feel like he's doing the best job he can, and it just happens to be substandard. But at least we'll give him credit for that. I don't know that all of us would have had the integrity even given 100%. I don't know that I would, personally. Wait, we're going to bring in Craig. My question is, because yesterday, we had this conversation yesterday on the show about Dwayne Haskins, and Jalen, my producer yesterday, was saying, why not throw him in against the Giants? I was like, man, that's a setup. You know how they feeling about Daniel Jones. Got Daniel Dimes trending on Twitter. Took no time for them to get that trending on Twitter, by the way. Immediately. I think he had run for his first yard, and before he even hit the end zone, Danny Dimes was already trending. So, with them feeling good about him, it's in New York. Clearly, the team around the quarterback position has not been up to par. We're just going to throw Dwayne Haskins in there, knowing that he's going to be compared head-to-head with Daniel Jones. Set that brother up like that, man. But then I also have to ask a question, you know, because we're like, is he ready? Is he ready? When's he ready? What's the best way to do? Are you really ever ready? Are you really ever ready for something like that? I know a lot of the big leaps that I've taken in my professional career, I would have told you I wasn't ready. But then when that event came, I became ready. Every time I get a new update for the iPhone, I'm like, I'm not ready, man. I'm not ready. I don't have no space. I'm not ready. But somehow my phone manages to get through to the other side of the update. Even hosting Get Up DC, I would have told you, hey, man, can you think you could host a morning show in our nation's capital, smartest city in the country? Nah, I'm just a comedian. What do you want from me? But somehow I became ready. If you look at my accolades, if you look at my achievements, you would have said, oh, he could do that. But I didn't feel like I was ready. But somehow I made it happen. I was ready. So maybe that's how these things happen. I feel like most Giants fans would have told you Daniel Jones wasn't ready. But he got in there and he made it happen. I think the difference is clearly the coaches thought Daniel Jones was ready. And the coaches don't think Dwayne Haskins is ready. I'm going to trust them and their perceptions of Dwayne Haskins and his readiness. Which may be the only thing I'll trust them about, but I'll trust them about that. They've certainly proven to not be trustworthy in many other respects, but I'll trust them when it comes to that. You got to err on the side of caution when it comes to stuff like that. But I can't say I blame any of the people that were chanting to bring in Dwayne Haskins, because really, pretty much anything you chant while you're watching a meltdown on national television, as long as it is printable, is okay by me. You could have been chanting about 7-Eleven taquitos. That's fine. Just whatever gets you through, whatever gets you by, as long as you're not throwing stuff onto the field and letting your hands go, as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to bring in Craig, talk about that after this next break. I also want to know, I want to find a name for this unnamed Reese Waters program that happens late at night randomly on The Fan. Can I get a name for my show? I thought about The Jungle, but I don't want to get sued by Axl Rose, because that means I have to be in the same room with Axl Rose and I'll probably catch something. I'm trying to think of a name. If you got a name, you got a suggestion, hit me up. 800-636-1067. Something we could talk about on the radio at 11:13. I'm a big Petey Green fan. Some take on P-Town. Maybe Wee-Town. No, that's corny. Wee-Town's corny. Some take on my name, like Reese Waters Runs Deep. That would be appropriate for 11 p.m. Reese Waters Runs Deep. It's long, but it's deep. It's meaningful. All right, we'll be back with my man, Craig Hoffman, who it looks like we got a fan. Scott Gammon says he wants a Reese Waters Craig Hoffman show on The Fan. Wouldn't that be awesome? And he actually added the program director here at The Fan. So that's an inside tweet. I feel like that came from downstairs because nobody should know his handle of the program director. But I'm going to retweet it anyway because any news is good news at this late hour. I'm Reese Waters. We'll be back with Craig Hoffman after this. Or I say, I forget who's a comedian that said you look like a case to hold Busta Rhymes in. that was funny. Anyway, thank you for that. I'm going to bring on my man, Craig Hoffman. I just put out on Twitter. I don't know if you guys watched the Monday night game. I assume you did, but Craig Hoffman showed up in a Lucha Libre mask. Very well done by you, my friend.
That's not me. That is 100% not me. But here I am. It is my voice.
I don't know that you could prove that it wasn't you, but you can prove a negative, so I'll give you that.
I got plenty of witnesses that says I was in the press box for that game.
Now, what was the mood like in the press box for that game?
Disbelief. I think that the idea that it has gone this far south this quickly is quite stunning to those of us that have been around this team all year. We all thought this defense was going to be pretty good. And the way the offense has performed is surprising. Not that it's been okay. Obviously, Monday night was a disaster, primarily because the quarterback turned it over 5 times. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they haven't been able to run the ball at all and that their defense has been abjectly and objectively terrible is extremely surprising, and to see it continue to play out like that on Monday night and give up 28 points and a half to a Bears team that was averaging 9.5 per game, that was quite surprising.
Well, let's get to the defense, because I would say the calls for the firing of Jay Gruden and by proxy Greg Minuski started probably somewhere around the third quarter of the Eagles game in week 1. And typically, you can throw an assistant overboard to buy you some more time, but still, Greg Minuski has managed to hang in there. How safe is he?
Not safe. The fact that they're on a short week this week probably helps him a little bit. You know, Jay's saying all the right things and not giving hints of, oh, this is now or never. This is the code red game. Like, they have been very together publicly. But at some point, if your boss goes like, hey, dude, you got to do something, you're going to do something to save your own job. And I know there is frustration in some parts of that building at what they're doing defensively, because they believe they have really good talent. And if you have good talent and you don't, and it's not performing, well, are you going to blame the talent, or are you going to blame the people who are putting the talent in the positions they're putting it in? And the answer is the latter. Sometimes it's not always fair, because certainly the players could execute a lot better. And you hear guys like John Allen say, a coach never lost a game. Well, the coaches aren't helping them win games, in my opinion, defensively, with what they're doing. And I just, there's too many times where you go, why is that linebacker covering that super fast receiver? Mm-hmm. How did it get drawn up that way? That's a bad idea. John Bostic's never running with Taylor Gabriel, you know? So it's things like that where they can sit. And if it happens once or twice and, you know, oh, players got it messed up, they screwed up the communication, whatever. If it's happening week in and week out, that's a coaching issue. And I think that we're at the point 2.5 years into Greg Minuski where we can consider some of these things coaching issues.
Now, it's been much made about the calls from the fans for Dwayne Haskins at Monday night. I was not there. I don't know how massive and intense and united of a front that was. How loud were the calls for Dwayne Haskins?
I would say they were like medium. They were loud enough that you could hear them for sure, but they also didn't last very long. Like, there was a point after one of the Keenum interceptions, I think, where they got the most intense they were. You know, fans were definitely cheering. You know, it'd be more intense, obviously, if there were more Redskins fans in the stadium. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at the fans. That is simply say that the Redskins have not played at a level at home that perhaps is worth attending a game at FedEx Field, which is no delight either. But it was never like overwhelming in any way. I certainly think that the calls on Twitter and, you know, the calls to our station and things like that have been more intense than the verbiage at FedEx Field on Monday night.
Well, so I just made the point last segment. I said, you know, I will give Jay Gruden credit for this, because if he honestly doesn't think Dwayne Haskins is ready and people are calling for Dwayne Haskins, it would take nothing for him to throw him out there, fall on his face, and then it would shut all of that down, which is no sweat off his back, but he hasn't done that, so I at least will give him credit for that. Is there any way we've seen Dwayne Haskins this week?
Well, yeah, if Case Keenum's hurt and if Colt McCoy's not ready to play, which right now Case Keenum is hurt, but he seems not hurt enough that he's not going to play. And Colt is certainly, I think, a long shot to play on Sunday. He hasn't practiced in a month and a half. We'll see what he does tomorrow. But we also got to see what Keenum does tomorrow. He's got this foot injury. He missed walkthrough today. He was in a boot. They said it was basically precautionary. They just give him the extra day. They don't get out there tomorrow. But if he wakes up super sore tomorrow, then who knows? All bets are off. There's a chance. And that creates a whole other mess too, because they'd have to bring in probably Josh Johnson, who just got cut by Detroit, as an emergency backup quarterback, as well, which then they have to make another roster move and yada yada. But yeah, there's a chance, but I still think the plan would be to, at the very least, save Dwayne till after, New England, which is obviously 2 weeks from now. You have Miami as that super soft landing spot, and he's just, man, he's getting to see a lot on tape, a lot of quarterback struggles, and he gets to see all of them without getting hit, which is a nice plus for him.
Let's get to New England, because it's in my mind that if they lose this week against the Giants, it could get like Waffle House ugly at home against the New England Patriots, not only on the scoreboard, but especially in the fans, because if we let the Bears take over the stands, and mind you, I've never met a Bears fan at Pentagon City. I've never been in traffic and yelled at a Bears fan. I've not seen a Bears fan. Somehow they just manifested out of the Mambo sauce and took over FedEx Field. I know that there's Patriots fans because America loves front runners. So I can only imagine how that might go in the stands. Does Jay Gruden see the Patriots game if they lose this week?
Yeah, I would think so, because if you're, and you know, this is so cynical as a way to look at it, but it's also reality. Like, do you really want, whether it's Bill Callahan taking over and then Kevin O'Connell's first game calling plays as OC, or head coach Kevin O'Connell, which would probably be the two potential replacements, do you really want their first game against the Patriots? Or would you rather their first game go against Miami? So, I mean, look, if it gets really ugly, which, remember, last time they played the Giants, it was like 40-0 at halftime. That was the Mark Sanchez disaster game, and that's when Josh Johnson took over and then finished out the year. If it gets that ugly against Daniel Jones without Saquon Barkley against a defense that traded away a bunch of dudes, yeah, I could see them making a move, but I think that move would be Minuski first, and then Gruden at least gets the New England game, and, you know, if that happens to be a beating much like week 17 last year, where it is a thorough beating in which there feels like there's no hope, and it is also in front of a stadium filled of 80% the opposite fan base. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you could see a head coaching change. I think that's possible. But I do think it's worth pointing out, Reese, that Snyder has only fired someone mid-season once, and it has gotten really ugly a couple of times. You know, when North Turner got fired in, I think it was 99, like that was right when he took over, and Zorn, that was obviously embarrassing and ugly, and Shanahan got really, really ugly internally and then eventually externally when he started leaking stuff, and they still waited till after the season. So it's going to take a lot for Dan to move on from Jay, a guy he's liked over the years and the first coach he's ever given a contract extension to. But it is certainly possible if they start 1-5 and that fifth loss is New England, or God forbid they're 0-6.
We don't acknowledge the Mark Sanchez era. I just want to throw that out there. Now,
it's the best press conference in team history, man. We got to at least acknowledge that.
That's a fair point. In most cities, you ask questions like, will we have a 1,000-yard rusher? Right now, Adrian Peterson is leading the team with 62 yards on the season. My question, will we have a 100-yard rusher?
I do
will anybody rush for 100 yards?
I do think that there will be a 100-yard rusher on the season. Mm-hmm. Right now, for any individual game, looks a little dicey. Their run blocking has been god awful. And this is what's supposed to be a talented offensive line, at least part of it. Like, Brandon Sheriff's supposed to be an all pro, and he ain't playing like it. He's been inconsistent. Morgan Moses is supposed to be a good player. There's a reason they paid him a lot of money. He's been not very good. Obviously, Donald Penn has been okay. Eric Flowers has actually been okay at left guard. Chase Roullier is just, he's kind of an average center. He's never going to create a ton of movement or anything. He's smart. He's going to get you in the right calls and things like that, but he's never going to be a huge, huge impact guy. And then the backs have missed quite a bit too. I think Chris Thompson was pretty good on Sunday, obviously, or on Monday night, and had a couple of nice looks. But Adrian Peterson's left quite a bit on the field, which is surprising considering he's him. But there has definitely been a lot to be desired in the run game, and that has not helped any of the other problems that they have with this team.
All right, before you get out of here, give me something to feel good about, not named Terry McLaurin.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I was about to say, have you seen the kid who wears 17? He's really good. Tress Way is an awesome punter.
Okay. Wow. Yes. Yes.
That's good. Actually, I'll tell you what. In all seriousness, their special teams, I think, overall has been very good. Mm-hmm. You have the big kick return from Steven Sims the other night. I think their punt coverage has been really good behind Tress. So, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't seem to matter a whole lot if the offense and defense are struggling. But if those two sides can right the ship, if those guys on defense can figure themselves out and start playing a lot better to the level that they expect and that we all expected, and the offense can steady a little bit, then those are the kinds of things that you win games in the margins, and their special teams has been good. And actually, I'll even give you a little bit better one. I actually think the best players on this team this year have been the young guys. And if you're starting to look forward, I think that's really important. Obviously, McLaurin's been the best of the bunch. He's incredible in every single way so far through three games, literally historic. But Montez Sweat has done some things that are really nice. He hasn't been the pass rusher that everybody wants, but he's played the run really, really well, which is nice. Deron Payne has been really solid, probably one of their best defensive players. So there's been some young guys who have really actually performed well, and it's a matter of getting everybody else up to their level and some of their stars playing a lot better, their veterans playing a lot better if they're going to elevate to actual winning football.
You know what? I appreciate you for keeping it positive. You always find something to feel good about. That is Craig Hoffman. That was not him in the Lucha Libre mask, although I'm still inviting that man, whoever that is, to come on to the program sometime. By the way, Scott Gammon thinks that we should have a show. I don't know if that's a family member of yours, but thank him when you see him.
I saw that tweet. I do think we're going to need someone with an advanced degree in mathematics to find the time that works between the two of our schedules, though.
True. Although he managed to find the program director here, so at least
maybe Scott's the guy.
Scott,
do you have a math degree?
Evidently, it's that hard to find those people sometimes. Thanks a lot, Craig. I appreciate it.
You got it, Reese.
Hey, at least we have special teams. We can feel good about that. I am Reese Waters. We'll be back on 106.7 The Fan. Give me a call, 800-636-1067. We'll be back with your calls after the break. Steve, I said I wanted you guys to call in, and you did. Let's go to Al in D.C. Al, what's going on, man?
You asked me to call back today, and I was thinking about the olden days of RFK.
Oh, boy. You mean last time we was good?
Yeah. I saw Schrader, Jay Schrader, throw a pass into the corner along third baseline where you go around in the left field with those temporary seats.
Yeah.
And the seats were rocking up and down when the guy caught the touchdown pass from Jay Schrader. And then Doug Williams with those five touchdowns in one quarter in the Super Bowl when he twisted his knee. And now he's president of football operations. And I think what we need is some of that. Now, I was a Senators fan, right? And my dad would sneak me up into the upper deck where the air was clear up, blowing in up by the overhang.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Howard jacked three homers in a double header one day when we were playing hooky from church. And he even took me with my brother, who was like 9 or 10 at the time, as an infant, to Griffith Stadium where not only did Mickey Mantle hit the longest home run in baseball, you know, those Easton 565 bats.
Yep.
That's in commemoration of what happened in Griffith. But Josh Gibson used to hit those, I think he hit like 936 or 72 homers in the Negro Leagues. And they used to play here as the Homestead Grays when they weren't in Pittsburgh. We have some great traditions for sports, but we forget them because they're so long in between. Like Walter Johnson with those 20 senators and, you know, the Redskins' last big one before the 73 season was in the 30s, right?
Man, have we turned into Al Bundy as a fan? Hey, you remember when Jay Schrader threw that touchdown pass in the temporary season? Oh, I tell you about Walter Johnson. You know what Walter Johnson did against the Holmes Greg Graves back in the 1940s? Right. That's terrible.
Exactly. It was slinging Sammy Ball back then. Channel 9, your station, did a piece with slinging Sammy before he passed. And it was real neat to hear him talk about being the Redskins QB in World War II. What I'm getting at is we've got to bring the magic back. I was listening to your last segment, and what I think they need to do is bring Doug Williams in to coach these guys. They need to bring some other guys like Jim Brown in and let them talk these guys up, because there are some great kids in our system. We just gotta grind this out. We're in a bad space right now, and it'll pass. You know, maybe
will
after
it? Is that true? Is that a promise? I don't know that it will. I would have thought that 10 years ago.
Maybe we got to go through one. Well, just remember one thing: when we went to the Super Bowl in '73, Nixon was under investigation for Watergate, and now we have a very similar political atmosphere. So it might be the foreboding of something good.
You know what? That is the best argument I have heard since I've been doing radio for the Redskins turning around. All we need is a good impeachment. We was good when Clinton was trying to get impeached. We was good when Nixon was trying to get impeached. We get a nice little impeachment. That really is what brings the football team together, man. See, that is what I appreciate about the people that call into the unnamed Reese Waters program. By the way, I'm not going to let you go without giving me a suggestion on a name.
All right. I was thinking about the Navy, man. They used to have an expression, a-holes and elbows.
I like it.
All hands on deck.
I like it. A-holes. Okay. All right. All right. Fair enough. Al, you are invited anytime I'm here on the program. I think I'm back, I believe, next Tuesday. I look forward to hearing from you, man.
All right. I'll catch you one day with TJ, and we'll talk.
All right. Please do. Thanks a lot, Al. Let's go over to my man, Mark in Winchester. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I just wondered about this offensive line. And, you know, they don't give them no time, the quarterback, no time to do anything. And, you know, it's all time, don't give a quarterback no time at all to get set or anything.
Well,
you know what I mean?
As a fan base, because I asked this question when I first came in, have you seen Trent Williams just in your travels around the DMV? Have you seen him?
Trent Williams. No.
No, you haven't seen it? Because I feel like if we can locate Trent Williams, if we can help the team find Trent Williams and bring him back into the fold, that is the best thing we could do for that offensive line.
Yeah.
All right. Is this your first time calling into the show?
Yeah.
All right. So you've been listening. It's your first time. What is your suggestion for a name for the unnamed Reese Waters program?
I don't know what they got to do, but, you know, it's been going on for many, many years now. And that's why these quarterbacks been getting hurt and everything else, and why they can't get nobody to go. I mean, you know, that's my theory. That's
you know,
why the quarterback's getting hurt and they can't keep nobody.
Hey, Mark.
Mark,
you got any Pedialyte in the fridge?
What?
You got any Pedialyte in the fridge?
No,
All right. I send a family member to get you some Pedialyte, man.
You know, Redskins got the most hurt quarterback there is on the NFL.
Yeah, they
seriously.
Do. They do. Mark.
And that's why they, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Hey, Mark, it gets better. It gets better. I hope so. Just remember that. Hey.
That offensive line is really tearing quarterbacks up.
Just remember to accept the things you cannot change, and have the courage to change the things you can and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, Mark.
Yep. All right. Talk to y'all later.
All right. I appreciate you. And I will give Mark credit. He was talking about this year's team. He was talking about this year's team. He didn't take it back to the 40s or anything like that, which you would have. I would have predicted that he would have been the guy to take it back in the day. He seemed like he was in the mood to reminisce about the good old days. I'm going to go to my man John in Stafford. John, what's going on?
Hey, I thought about he was wanting a name for the show. I was thinking Midnight Rider. I think because you could open the show with that, I think it's Bob Seger, Midnight Rider song.
Okay. All right. I like that. I appreciate the eclectic musical taste as well, John. Now, if you happen to see Mark in Winchester, can you give him a ride home, make sure he gets back okay?
Winchester, I'm in Stafford.
Hey, desperate times. We all won, baby. We all won.
Hey, and I hope we find Trent Williams too.
He's somewhere in between those two, I feel like. That would be my best prediction. Now, how well are you able to compartmentalize what's going on with the Redskins and just embrace the positivity that we have with the Nationals and even the Mystics, not to be forgotten, going to the finals?
Well, I'm feeling real good about the Nationals. The Mystics, I haven't been keeping up on them.
I just wanted to see if you were going to be honest. I appreciate that.
And I'm trying to be positive with the Redskins. I mean, I wish we could have another Art Monk and another Joe Jacoby and everything else. And it just, I don't know. The guys we got seem like they're good enough. It falls apart when the game happens.
That might actually be entertaining, just to bring in old Redskins greats and see if they can make the team now. That would be a reality show I would watch. That'd be better than half the games we've been seeing.
I don't know. Get their spirit up in there, maybe.
Probably. All right, John. Thank you for calling in. You are invited to call in any and every time I'm back. I think I'm back next Tuesday. I'm actually going to look that up next time we go to break. I appreciate you. Midnight Rider is the leader in the clubhouse right now for the name of the as-yet-unnamed Reese Waters program. I appreciate y'all. Make sure you give me a call back and hit me up, 800-636-1067. I'll be back. Reese Waters on the Fan. This is Reese Waters. Welcome back to Midnight Rider. I love it. It just feels right. You know the other thing I like about Midnight Rider? A lot of people going to see that Reese Waters Midnight Rider and come in and have no idea what it is. Think I'm here talking about classic rock. And be pleasantly surprised at the amount of hip-hop references they will have to swallow. I will say this, though. I did go to prep school. I went to St. Albans. By the way, I am a contemporary of one Danny Rouillet, who's also at this station. So you can't leave prep school without a degree in 70s rock. I was forced to listen to my share of the band, Creedence Clearwater Revival, you name it. Dave Matthews Band, Smashing Pumpkins, Everclear. I know that's not classic at the time. That was contemporary. Bob Seger. I had to listen to. Of course, it was Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin. Those. We were not into the Beatles, evidently, over at St. Louis. I had to listen. Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run. My goodness. I thought Born to Run was the only thing you could run to, was Born to Run. I was on track and cross-country team because they assumed that I could run well. When I got there, actually, they assumed I could play basketball, and they were very disappointed that I could not play basketball or football. So their fallback was running, and they found something that I actually was able to do legitimately well. So welcome back. I'm Reese Waters. Make sure you give me a call. I am at 800-636-1067. We've been talking about the Washington Nationals clinching last night. Potentially play either the Milwaukee Brewers or the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know who you guys would rather face. Personally, I would rather face the Brewers because I'm not really yet ready to deal with 2012. I haven't gotten there yet in therapy. A lot of things happened in 2012 that I haven't dealt with yet emotionally. So I'm not ready to open up that case of emotions, that glass case of emotions. I'm not ready to break it open yet. So I'm ready to start something new. Let's go with the Brewers and let's handle it that way. But I'm feeling very great about this team. Very good about the Washington Nationals. Congratulations to the Mystics. I brought them in. Open invitation to anybody that can speak intelligently on the Mystics. I appreciate my caller for not trying to fake it just now. I would love to hear that. Also, open invitation. Does anybody know what Adrian Peterson did to antagonize Jay Gruden and his family? I don't know if the Peterson-Gruden feud goes back generations. I don't know if this is something that happened back in the good old days, if this is like a Hatfield and McCoy's kind of thing, or what exactly. I don't know if Adrian Peterson took the big piece of chicken at training camp that was supposed to be for the coaches, or I don't know if he took he didn't refill the water on the coffee maker, or he put too much sugar in the Kool-Aid. I don't know what Adrian Peterson did to upset Jay Gruden and his kin, but this feud needs to stop because there's no reason to have animus with players on your team when you're going this way at 0-3. If you're going to go this way at 0-3, at least be a player's coach. At least let the players enjoy themselves and enjoy working for you and let them advocate for you. You going to turn the players off and the fans at the same time? Come on, dog. Come on. You got to be one of the two. Look at Bill Belichick. You know, he's the gold standard. How many people have left the Patriots and talked about how tough it is to play for Bill Belichick? He doesn't allow you certain freedoms and you can't say this, that, and the other thing. But guess what? He wins. So the fans love him. He is a fans coach. You have people like our very own Jim Zorn at the complete other end of the spectrum. Didn't win a thing. But guess what? Everybody enjoyed themselves. Got to say hip, hip, hooray. And got to draw plays in the dirt. Like send everybody out to the left when we're trying to be kicking a field goal against the New York Giants. That's a player's coach. Everybody enjoyed playing for Jim Zorn. You can't be neither. Somebody got to enjoy the Jay Gruden experience. Let's go to my man Joseph in Falls Church. I believe you have a name for the unnamed Reese Waters program. What do you got?
Hey, I sure do, Reese. We're on High Tide with Reese Waters.
Oh, I like it. High Tide, and it's a little vague. It leaves something open to interpretation. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I mean, we speak the high truth here.
I like it. Now, by the way, have you seen Mark from Winchester? If you see him, can you help him make sure he gets home okay? Yeah.
I'm about an hour away, but I mean, I guess I could go get him.
Okay,
fair enough. He needs a couple Pedialytes. I might stop by, grab a couple of those.
It's all hey, we gotta love one another, man. Do you think the Redskins pull out a win this week?
I'm just gonna pray, in all honesty. So I'm a young fan. I'll tell you that my dad always tells me about the good old days back when there was a few Super Bowls there, and to grow up from 93, so I guess it's my fault because I was born as soon as we started doing bad, you know. But
that is actually
going on.
That is a heck of a coincidence. Is this whole thing your fault?
I hope not, but I pray it's not, you know.
I give you credit for still being in the fold. I don't know if I was born in 93 and technically couldn't claim any of the Super Bowl wins or the years that we have to hold our head up high. I don't know that I would still be in the fold at this point. I'm going to ask you this. So I said yesterday, my buddy is a Ravens fan, and he's been trying to convince me to go to a game, and finally I acquiesced, and I said, you know what, I'll go with you to the game because I kind of want to see this Browns-Ravens thing get down, and I'm tired of the Lamar Jackson highlights. They be dropping in the middle of the Redskins meltdown. Do you have any advice for me how to conduct myself in front of watchable football? It's been so long.
Honestly, wear a Caps jersey or a Nats jersey because at least we got a couple winning teams here.
Hey, man, I did say Baltimore, man. I still got to work on Monday. I ain't trying to have to fight my way out all the way down to BW Parkway.
I mean, a lot of Baltimore fans do go Caps, so
That's true.
Caps is a safe option.
That is a very good point. Ice can't survive in Baltimore. I appreciate you, Joseph. I like the suggestion of high tide. We're going to come back with that. This is Reese Waters on 106.7 The Fan. Give me a call. We'll be back after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.